This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. Discover Lafayette is recorded in the offices of Raider Solutions, a technology company located in the Light Center in Lafayette. Raider offers a complete fleet of IT solutions for businesses of all sizes. Raider's motto is, "You just want it to work, we understand." If you're wondering if Raider can help your business, please visit RaiderSolutions.com. I'd also like to thank our premier sponsor, Iberia Bank, for its support of this podcast. Founded in 1887, Iberia Bank is the largest bank based in Louisiana and is headquartered right here in Lafayette. With 329 combined locations throughout the South, they offer the resources of a national bank with the personal touch of a community bank. For more information, please visit IberiaBank.com. Today's guest is Mark Falgu, owner of Blue Moon Saloon and Guest House, one of America's premier venues for roots music from around the world. He also owns Warehouse 535. Mark is here to talk about the South Louisiana Songwriters Festival and Workshop, known as SOLO, that will be held May 22nd through May 26, 2019. Mark was instrumental in founding SOLO and has worked this year to expand its reach by bringing in experts who will share their insider knowledge on how artists can make it in the music business. The purpose of SOLO is to bring in artists, music lovers, and industry professionals to ignite Lafayette's creative scene, to make Lafayette known not only for its heritage, but also for its deep pool of musical talent. The event is presented with support from the Buddy Holly Educational Foundation, the CREATE Initiative, Lafayette Convention and Visitors Commission, BMG, and many public and private sponsors, including our own Raider Solutions. So Mark Falgu, welcome to Discover Lafayette.
Thank you, Jan. Thanks for having me back.
I'm excited. We met, well, I had known you before, but really got to know you better through your work with SOLO. And on the podcast last year, you and Mark Broussard talked about bringing this up, creating it. But this year, it's even bigger because you've added on, it would have been easy, it seems, just to keep what you had and work that. But you've added on a couple of new components to the Songwriters Festival. So why don't you tell me about what's going on this year?
Well, I mean, it's a little different story than it is than it was last year, because last year we were talking about an event that we were going to have. We hadn't had one before, so we were talking about what could happen and what we wanted to happen, and we were basically selling the dream. So now we actually have one under our belts, and like you said, it would have been easy to keep it as it is, and I'm not quite sure how these other components got added. I mean, it's just a matter of conversation, you
glutton
know.
For punishment.
I don't know, you know. My wife and I talk about that all the time. It's just, you know, because she had the idea of, you know, if we could bring this into the schools for the children to be able to kind of start them at a young age with this process. And then also it's like if we did it about continue that education aspect and bring in industry professionals to help artists that are up and coming and established figure out a better way to monetize their career, understand how the business aspect of music works. So in conversation, those things led to, hey, let me talk to Jane Verdrine, where our son goes to school and she's his guitar teacher. And so that kind of evolved into the education portion within the schools. And then we had artists that we brought in, like Nick Lowe. Nick Lowe's coming in. He's going to be our kickoff artist on the Wednesday night of festival. So he's also traveling with his label head, Glenn Dicker from Yep Rock Records, and his publicist, Matt Hanks from Shorefire. So they're here. So it's like, well, if you're here, how about we use y'all while y'all here to give us a little discussion on how to make it in the music or what's happening in the music business scene currently. So that's how it started. And then, well, we have two panels and maybe we'll add another one. Then someone else wants to come in. Right. And then, well, if we do that school, then let's go to the next one. And next thing you know, we're touching probably six schools all the way from elementary to high schools. Mm-hmm. And then we have nine industry panels. So
it's exciting.
It is exciting. It's getting close and it's getting to be to the fun part now.
So it's a songwriters festival. So that is the... That's the core purpose, right? You've got people getting together with industry professionals. And the main, I guess the main focus for people participating that were selected, they will be writing music, right? They'll be writing songs, lyrics, music with, are they collaborating? Can you explain about how this works for people that may not know what the festival's about?
Yeah, so Solo South Louisiana Songwriters Festival and Workshop. So it started off with the idea of having a music festival, but we decided through our partnership with the Buddy Holly Educational Foundation was to incorporate a workshop on the front end. So our goal is to bring in writers, from established writers who do this for a living, from out of town, from around the world, literally, to come into Lafayette and collaborate with our local professionals. And then also to have a third component of that where there are aspiring writers, up-and-coming writers, whether they be locally or part of maybe a development deal from a publishing company, or people who just go through our submission process. So the goal is to have a kind of a balance between a third of these writers being professional who do this for a living, a third of those being our local professionals who play music on a regular basis, have been in the game for a long time, but have kind of remained local, and a lot of them have other jobs besides music.
Right.
And then the third is the aspiring aspect. So what we do is each day we divide them up in groups of three people, and we try to take a professional, a local professional, aspiring. And then the first day is like a camp. So we say, hey, 50 of us standing around in a room. I know you don't know most of these people. Look around. You'll know them all by the time Friday rolls around. Check the whiteboard. Find your group. Introduce yourself to them. Meet downstairs. We'll put you in a van, drop you off in a writing space, pick up lunch on the way out, and we'll pick you up 6 hours later. And then when you do, we'll do a song share, and you show us what you came up with over that that period of time.
So they have to produce something.
So, you know, I mean, the kind of the pressure's on, and it's a different type of situation for a lot of folks that are don't write in that. A lot of people are slow, more methodical, but there's a lot of nervousness going in for people who haven't done this before, and you can see that the first day, but like the second and third day, people come in, they're feeling comfortable, they've got some good material, they feel like they kind of in a groove, and it's a real bonding experience. And you know, you develop relationships and contacts with folks from out of town, or that are, you know, or even from the same town that you never kind of associated or wrote with or performed with before.
Are most of the participants, are they singer songwriters? I mean, what did you see last year? And I guess based on who's coming this year, what kind of talent do they typically bring to this?
Well, you know, the songwriter aspect is a little bit different than the performers. You know, you have performers who basically can be a performer and a singer-songwriter, but a lot of times songwriters are behind the scenes. So they're known for their songs, but not as being performers themselves. But so we have a little bit of both. We have people that have, like Gary Talent, who was the original an original member of Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band, you know, and he still performs with Springsteen, and he's going to be back for a second year. We've got Jim Lauderdale, who's basically a writing legend and a performer in Nashville, that's coming in. And then we have some folks that may not have the name recognition, like Jamie Commons coming in from London, who is a big writer in the world of getting his music in movie, film, and TVs, and generates his revenue there. So he's making more money doing that than he is as a performer, but at the same time, he wants to break out and kind of be a be a performer also. So it's an interesting dynamic, because, you know, folks will say, man, if I can make a living playing music, and he is, but they want to be performers also.
Right.
So
it's an opportunity.
Everybody kind of wants to be that front man, or not everybody does, because we have like Barry Ancelet, Dr. Barry Ancelet, who's a lyricist, and he doesn't play, but he's an amazing writer, and he's great at helping people get their story out and crafting those lyrics to where they tell that story. So it's
he's participating?
He's participating.
That's
he participated
awesome.
Last year, and he was actually one of the co-writers with Emily Artigo, who took the song that she wrote, I Sing, and performed it on her audition to American Idol, and got accepted and got the gold ticket to go to Hollywood with Barry and Kevin Montgomery, who's Bob Montgomery's son. And Bob Montgomery and Buddy Holly were co-writers back back in the day. So everybody's connected one way or the other, you know?
Right. You know, I'm curious. I know that you're well-known in the industry, and people come from all over to play at Blue Moon. How did you reach out to these people around the world? Like, how... I know, I guess a lot of the groundwork was laid last year and it was successful, and I want to congratulate you for that. But here we are in Lafayette, Louisiana, not a big town, not maybe known worldwide, and yet you've been able to attract this talent from all over. Can you talk about that?
Well, I think one of the big things is the fact that we partnered up with the Buddy Holly Educational Foundation. And the Buddy Holly catalog was purchased by BMG. And one of the executive VPs for BMG out of Los Angeles, David Hirschland, and he and I go back years by mm-hmm. doing events in Austin for South by Southwest, where I've been kind of out there trying to promote Lafayette music to the bigger stage, if you will. And David was president of Bug Music, a music publishing house, and he worked a lot with Louisiana artists. One of his artists was David Egan. So he has ties to the connections to this area. And then when he purchased the Buddy Holly catalog for distribution in North America, then Buddy Holly had an educational foundation that was actually based in the UK. And they were a sponsor of a songwriter's workshop that was going on for probably over 10 years. And it was Chris Difford of Squeeze. So the Buddy Holly Foundation was actually based in the UK because they're huge Buddy Holly fans over there. So working with David, working with the Buddy Holly Foundation, their connections in Europe has kind of, we have a network from East Coast, West Coast, across the pond, and we kind of put our heads together. And then also C.C. Adcock, who does a lot of production, produces a lot of records out in London, goes back and forth. He has industry connections, and he's out there spreading the word about Lafayette throughout his travels. And so it's basically, we get on a conference call, the folks from BMG and Buddy Holly and myself, once a week for 4 months, and we just start throwing names out and trying to put a list of hopefuls together. And then we kind of...
That's a lot of people to coordinate.
It is a very lot of people to coordinate. But it's, you know, when you got four different people on four different time zones trying to... Daylight savings time changes everybody's. The people in the UK don't know what's that, what's the number. But it's a lot of work, but it's, I think at the end of the day, it's a pretty it's a pretty magical experience.
Well, one of the big things that you've added this year that we were alluding to is the two-day music conference where you do have these experts coming in, and they're going to, I think you said there were nine different classes that will be put on throughout the 2 days, teaching everything from, I guess, how to, what do you look for in a manager? You know, how do you break into the business? How do you protect your intellectual property. If you would talk about that, because I don't know how many opportunities people would have for something like this to talk with real music professionals that aren't just college professors talking about it. These are people in the business that make things happen.
You know, I've been doing this for over 20 years. You know, we've had the Blue Moon since 2001, and I was involved with Festival International on the board for years. I've been going to Austin for South by Southwest, over to Nashville for the Americana Music Conference. So, you know, being in this business on different levels, I've learned a little about a lot of things, let's put it that way. So, and the music model is basically changing now. You know, went from, you know, the physical distribution went from vinyl to cassettes to CDs. So, and then that, then digital, then now we're coming back to vinyl. So that's...
I know, right after I gave away all my vinyl.
I know. So, but, so with that being said, our goal has always been to try to empower our local artists to be able to make a living at their craft. You know, if you go to Europe after 30 years, you can retire in France by being an artist, a recording artist. You know, they take care of their artists here, or especially in our area. music is something that's done after 5 o'clock or on the weekends after you have your regular job, mm-hmm. you know, and if you are good or if you have some talent or if you want to kind of try to make it, then you're moving out of town. You're moving to Nashville or you're moving to Los Angeles to try to go ahead and get your break. Mm-hmm. Our goal is to kind of help educate our local community on what the business is mm-hmm. about. And it's an ever-changing business. So our goal with this conference is just to give an overview of right. what the music business is. You know, from, like you said, we're going to bring in the head of a record label. We're going to bring in the head of a PR firm that basically puts out the music and the PR firm helps to promote it. Mm-hmm. What are they doing? How has that model changed in the last 30 years? Right. We're going to bring in a management team, two different, a very young guy out of New Orleans who's Reed Martin, who's out there working it really hard, who's, you know, he's taken Big Frida and Tankin' the Bangas to a new level. He's working with Sweet Crude. We're bringing in Chris Casa from London, who manages Jade Bird, and Liam Gallagher from Oasis. So he's worked with some people and people that are making big splash in the music right. business. We're right. bringing in someone who basically works for a publishing company, and their job is to take writers' songs and pitch them to performers mm-hmm. to try to help put the writer with the performer. And JC Batto is coming in, Big Yellow Dog, and he's, you know, over the past couple of years had several top 20 hits with songs that he's kind of found the writer mm-hmm. and put the, he's connecting the dots, if you will.
Right.
Then also we're bringing in producers and engineers to, how do I make the most out of my studio time? When mm-hmm. I go in the studio time, what's the engineer looking? What can I do to make sure? What's a producer do? What's his job? Mm-hmm. So to get the understanding of that recording process. And then it goes on to bringing in a panel writing specifically for film, TV, mm-hmm. commercials, and video games. What's the difference between writing that for myself or what? Mm-hmm. What are these music supervisors that place the music looking for, and what are the different types of music or what are the different avenues to happen to make that happen? So we're going to offer that and right. then also we're going to bring in an entertainment attorney from London, one from Los Angeles, and one from Austin and DC to talk about music publishing and mm-hmm. how to protect your rights, how to monetize your intellectual property. So it's kind of like a crash course on
that's
the business for
yeah,
in 2 days, uh-huh. you know, and obviously you can't get too intensive in that short period of time, but it'll definitely give you, if that's something that you're considering or something you want to do or want to mm-hmm. learn more about what happens or how that person got from A to
right.
B, you know,
and pays the bills
and yeah. pays the bills, you know,
right.
so that's mm-hmm. that. So I think that's probably one of the most exciting parts for the community, that for the local musicians, because everybody can participate in this. The writing workshop that we talked about is juried, it's selected, there's mm-hmm. only 50 people or so that are in that circle. This is open to the public right. and it's at a, like I said, a very nominal cost, and it's right here. And to bring this amount of talent that we have in the industry together, mm-hmm. I don't know if that's ever happened in Lafayette, and you know, hopefully it'll happen again, but it's a really special opportunity.
So that 2-day course is $99?
$99.
Yeah,
and
that's
it's, and,
bar,
if, and if you're and if you're a student, it's $65.
Okay.
I mean, you know, so
yeah.
I don't know, what can you get for $65 if you're a musician, you
no.
know?
Where is yeah. it going to be held? What, these
it's going to be held. It's going to be held at Warehouse 535.
Okay.
It's going to start registration at 8 o'clock on Friday morning, mm-hmm. go through 5 o'clock, and then the same thing. It'll registration at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, go
okay.
through. Go through 4 o'clock. And the great part is we'll have about 45 minutes or so of panel discussions with mm-hmm. 30 minutes of Q&A, but these industry professionals will be hanging out after the fact, so you have the opportunity to kind of reach out to them on
yeah.
a one-on-one basis.
I mean,
also,
where would you get that networking opportunity?
Like I said, I don't know. We're kind of pleased of what we were able to put together.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and people wanted to come to Lafayette. Just from last year, from us getting the word out, from what we did, people talking about the talent that we have here.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, you know, people are coming, these people that are these hitters that are coming in from around the world are coming here because, you know, they understand that there's a lot of talent here, and it might
right.
be it might be easy pickings. So, you know, you might be that next one that kind of winds up with that label or that management company or gets that right publishing deal. So you never know.
Right. So for the public, when they attend the festival, what can be expected from that end? Like, I don't have talent, so if I was going, I'd be going as a spectator. What's open for people that want to come see the results of some of the songwriting and the workshops?
Well, there are a couple layers of that also. We will have an opening night concert with Nick Lowe on Wednesday, evening of Solo, and Tommy McLean will open up for him. Nick Lowe is writer, producer, wrote a lot of Costello's songs, and he, the front end of punk rock, he's been around. He's a legend in the scene, but he's also very inspired. He's a big Swamp Pop fan, so he's like, he's writing songs now for Tommy McLean's new record, or co-writing with Tommy, He's asked to see, hey, can Rod Bernard show up? Can Johnny Allen come to the show? Johnny, I've connected with them since the 80s. Whenever they're in London, I go see them. And so there's this friendship. So it's unique in the sense that we have somebody who's that iconic in the in the songwriting world, who's inspired by what we have here, which is why these folks coming from around the world to come see what we have here? Because who's the next Tommy McLean? Tommy's 79. Where's that 19-year-old?
Right.
That's him that comes from somewhere. So
So Wednesday night is that concert.
Wednesday night's that concert. Thursday night we have our school program, which will open up a concert that is kind of curated. It's called Songs Over Style, which basic concept of that is it's more about the song than the type of genre or the style that you play it in. So we try to bring in artists from different styles. That's curated by C.C. Adcock, and he's bringing in Sonny Landreth, John Cleary, Cupid, Jamie Commons, the writer from London, and Mary Gaucher. So we've got six different artists that'll be on stage at the same time, trading off songs, possibly talking about their processes and the stories behind what inspires them to write and to do what it is they do. So Wednesday and Thursday are open to the public. Friday night, I think, is probably one of the most special nights. And Friday night is what we call solo sessions. So this workshop that we spoke about where people are getting together at 9, writing till 3, on Friday afternoon, we'll pick probably the top 15 to 18 songs that were written over those four-day period. And we go to First United Methodist Church, and then we do a world premiere of those songs. So the songs that you'll hear are the results of the collaboration over the last 4 days of these songs that were created in Lafayette. So this is songs that were created here by groups of three or so writers. There's never, there's only one first time, huh? So you get to hear it for the first time, and then they'll take these songs out to the world, but they were created here in Lafayette. So to touch on that point a little bit, I think that's what makes this festival different than other, what we call festivals, because most other festivals, they are presenting. They're presenters. They have presenters. We're presenting music. We're presenting these artists. This festival is we're creating. We're creating, and then we're able to go ahead and share it there. So that's Friday night. And then Saturday and Sunday, starting at 3 p.m. till about 11 to midnight each night, both at Warehouse 535 and the Blue Moon, we have a five stages and probably 60 or so performances over that period of time. So that's available to check out our schedule at solosongwriters.com.
Okay. So to get into these events, I know that there's, first of all, the Raider Key Player Pass, and that's $250. Is that correct?
Correct. And basically,
the whole 5 days of events.
It gets you into everything. It gets you into the Nick Lowe event, the Thursday night event, the songs over the solo sessions. It gets you preferred seating on both Saturday and Sunday. And when talking to Chris and Jacob about the idea of them coming on board with this, is like, and we did the little, Jason, we did that commercial for the baseball field, which, look, I'm getting a lot of comments on that.
Oh,
so,
good. Excellent.
So it got noticed. But, it's like every organization needs key players. And I think it's important for the community to be able to support this idea. And through Raider, they have a promotional code to where if you go ahead and go through the Raider website, then you can enter the promo code, which is Raider Gives Back, and we can get you that info, and you get a $50 discount on that.
Great.
So you're able to go ahead, and a portion of those will go to charity. Mm-hmm. So it's a way for not only to help support our local artists, but it's also a way to support our community. And I think they both go hand in hand if we want to make this work.
Right. And so for people that aren't able to commit to the full 5 days, how do you, you can just buy tickets online at Solo Songwriters.
Solosongwriters.com. You can buy tickets for the individual events on Wednesday night and Thursday night. The Friday night, because we're a limited space venue, you have to have either a key player pass or a weekend pass to get into that that event. But our weekend passes for, which would get you into Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday are $40 for the weekend.
Oh, wow.
Or they're a $25 day pass. Mm-hmm. And then students have a $15 day rate if they want to come in there. So we try to make it as financially feasible for as many people as possible. But, you know, when we're putting on an event like this and we're just talking about the logistics and the coordination and the production, it's quite an undertaking. So we really appreciate folks' support. And that's why these key players really help us out a lot, because it kind of helps us further our mission.
Right. And I do want to make clear for those listening, Mark Falgu has, last year and this year, I mean, you're organizing this, and you don't have somebody just giving you a check. You do have these underwriters.
Yes.
The ones I mentioned, but nobody is just saying, I'll cover all of this. So you definitely need the community to support not only our burgeoning artist, but also to make Lafayette a destination for people that may not otherwise come here. So I don't know if you want to talk about that, but these things don't just fall into people's laps. Like, this is an expensive and a highly coordinated endeavor.
It is. You know, we talked about how these things evolve. And from the time that I had my first conversation with David Hirschland with BMG, and then Nicole, my wife, and I putting together, or I say she put together, the PowerPoint, the 13-page PowerPoint about why Buddy Holly Foundation should choose Lafayette as its first U.S. destination to have a songwriter's workshop.
In lieu of Nashville or
in
L.A.
In lieu of Nashville or L.A. or Austin, or, you know, the list goes on. To where we are today, it's evolved a lot, and it's gotten big quick. But every expansion that we made is just plays off of what we're doing. And our goal is to kind of help our local songwriters not only learn how to write songs so that we can have talent to present here in our venues that we own, but it's also to kind of help build an industry so that if you do have that talent, that you might not have to relocate to Nashville. You can record here. You can have resources here. You can maybe have a management company here. Maybe there's a distribution or a record label. So the part is to try to go ahead and use not only our local Lafayette talent, but also some of these tax incentives that the state is putting out there for the music industry, tying all those together, and to build an industry and have people coming to Lafayette to create, which basically helps our engineers, it helps our studios, it helps our restaurants, it helps our hotels, you know. So it's multifaceted, and if I think about it too much, I can get a little overwhelmed. So, you know, I just
one day at a time.
One day at a time, correct, yes.
But I just wanted to get that in, because things don't change unless something changes, and the big catalyst here was you and your wife reaching out to Buddy Holly Foundation. So I want to thank you for what you've been doing. It's been I know it's a labor of love, but it's also a sacrifice. I mean, this is a major investment of your life.
It is, and you know, that's why it's important for us to have the support of the community, because you know, we have three young kids and a couple of businesses, and you know, this is an idea that we had, and you know, Nicole's been very supportive. She's been in school, and I bounce every idea off of her. Sometimes it gets to be a bit much, you know, I understand. But, we have kids, and our kids are basically part of this. One of them's a musician, and all three of them have music in them, you know. So it's something that, you know, we say, what's going to be the next big scene in Lafayette? And it might be our kids, you know, and that might be it.
That'd be great if they could stay here, huh?
If we could give them a little bit of head start, mm-hmm. and give them something, you know. Mm-hmm. What we didn't touch on was the fact that we're going into the school system, you know.
Yeah, talk about that some, please.
So we're doing that. We're going into schools, elementary, middle, and mm-hmm. high schools, bringing in two of our solo alumnus and a couple of other instructors to work with the students on the songwriting process. And it's kind of been amazingly eye-opening. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got three kids, and we all think our kids are, you know, whatever. And I think they're intelligent, they're smart, and they're creative. But to watch what's happening in these programs with these young mm-hmm. kids in there, ability to grasp the concept and kind of craft these songs. You know, Dustin Luke, who is one of our instructors, you know, the first thing he says when he's sitting there with these kids that are in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, man, I never had this opportunity. You know, he said, I didn't start playing until I was in college, mm-hmm. you know. You get to come to an art school and play guitar an hour a day and have someone come in at this age and kind of give you an yeah. idea of what a song's about and its structure and its craft. So, you know, that's a big picture thing too, is that, you know, arts are very important. And mm-hmm. So for us to be able to contribute in that way also, I think, is something that'll last a lot longer than this one weekend of
right.
the festival.
Oh, yeah, you're planting seeds for future, well, current and future success. And you had mentioned, Mark, that some of the young men in particular, they really have some deep ideas for lyrics, huh, about life and its journey.
Well, I think, you know, and they're
and
like
loss of love.
Look, and that is, you know, I guess
I was impressed.
You know, I mean, like I said, we have three kids, and I try to spend as much time with my kids as possible, mm-hmm. and I think I'm a hands-on coach baseball, take them to gymnastics or dance or whatever, mm-hmm. and we go out fishing into the camp, and then I came home after one of these sessions and told Nicole, I said, man, these kids are deep. She's mm-hmm. going, well, yeah, yeah, and I said, well, because so, maybe they talk to mom that way
than
they
dad.
Would talk to me.
I
always
so.
Talk to them as they always talk to me, as like I'm the baseball coach.
Yeah.
You know, and they open up a little bit more to her. And then some of these, that was the point I was making. It's like there's this kid that he's on my baseball team, and I know Oliver, and he's nice and quiet, and then he's writing these lyrics that are like, wow, you know?
12 years old.
12, 13 years old. And it's like it's some pretty heavy stuff. And I think that's part mm-hmm. of what I've learned about the songwriting process, is that it is very therapeutic. It is, you know, when writing stuff down, people mm-hmm. write things down that they wouldn't say. And it helps people get their thoughts out, their emotions, mm-hmm. whatever they're going. And I've always been drawn to music, and I've always been drawn to the story and the lyrics.
Yeah.
And then to watch these things come from an idea. And Jane mm-hmm. Verdreen, I'll give her a lot of credit, because she was the one who spearheaded our school program. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she brought in a poet before. And they started talking about poetry, and they started talking about ideas and colors and concepts. And she had them writing sticky notes. Mm-hmm. And then she had them of words or phrases
right.
or thoughts. And then she had them working on chord progressions. So that when we came in as the songwriting team, I say we because I'm not part of it. I mean, Solo and the Dustin and Emily went into the class. They were prepared uh-huh. for that. And to have that at that age is, I think,
yeah.
it's pretty special.
Incredible leg up. You know, this is probably a very ignorant question, but when you speak of the lyrics, do the participants, are all of them also musically inclined, or do people just come that are poets that want to write the lyrics to music? Is it really something where you also have the musical background to write the
Are you talking in the school program or just in the solo?
In the whole thing.
Well, you know, like I said, we have a little bit of we have a little bit of both,
uh-huh.
you know. So part of the deal, like when the school program, we said, so what if these kids write a song, but they're not really, they, you know,
they don't
they're
know
writing,
to write
they're
the
telling
music,
they're
yeah.
telling the story, and they're uh-huh. they're really musically inclined, but they're not the performer.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, well, we'll just recruit one of their classmates
to sing,
because they have people who sing. So
mm-hmm.
that they'll work that there. And a lot of these people, well, like Mark Broussard performed, participated last year. So Mark's, he's a writer, but he's a performer. He can take his songs that he wrote and perform himself. Some of these are not at that level or don't want to be. So it's, every situation is individual and different. And we have some people that you'll never hear vocally, but you'll hear their story through the lyrics because they were in that writing process.
Right. Well, some of the musicians I love, like Carly Simon or Carole King, I know they weren't always performing at first when they wrote, and then it turns out they were.
Right.
You know, they were singers.
And on the flip side of that, Elvis never wrote a song.
Really?
So, you know.
And he did okay.
He did okay. So, you know, but he did okay for a lot of people that wrote those songs.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, you know, that's what you don't maybe realize. You know, they're Elvis performed, but they're not necessarily Elvis written.
Well, Mark, we're here in Raider Solutions with Jason Sikora. And Jason is, you sing and write.
I'm not a great singer, but I can write a nasty guitar riff.
Yeah, I know you love this topic.
Yeah, well, and Mark, it's always good having you down here. I wanted to make a couple comments first because I think it's important. So Switchfoot opened up on a tour I was on, and John Foreman is one of my favorite songwriters. And every day he'd go sit under a tree and write a new song, just as a matter of practice. Practice songwriting. So I think what you're doing here is fantastic, and it's going to give these songwriters more tools to be able to just express themselves through even a guitar and some lyrics. And then one of the things that you mentioned a few times that I didn't really know this until my first gig was Faith Hill in the studio. And it was her and the hired musicians and a cassette tape with 10 songs that somebody in the UK wrote, and they were going to record all 10 of those songs. So she didn't even write the songs. She was the performer. There was somebody else that probably never got proper credit, but made a lot of money off of Faith Hill performing these songs. So there is a big difference between being a writer and being a performer. And some people do both of them great, and some people are just great writers, and some people are just great performers. So showing that to people, I think, is super important, because you can just be a writer and make a good living and not ever worry about performing, or do the opposite, just perform other people's works. I want to just go over a couple other things. What's the website again?
Solosongwriters.com.
Okay. And then what are the dates of this festival?
The dates are May 21st through the 26th. That would be the Tuesday through the Sunday of Labor Day week. Excuse me, Memorial Day week and weekend.
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent.
So it's the 21st. Okay,
21st, yeah. Well, the 21st is our first writing session. So that's it. The first public performance will be the 22nd with Nick Lowe.
Okay. And then, of course, RaiderSolutions.com. You can go there, and there's a link right to your website to get the key player pass.
And that would be where they save $50
exactly.
If you buy it through you.
So you've expanded this pretty dramatically since last year and put a lot on your plate. Are there other things that you might want to add on to next year, and how big do you want this to be?
Well, at this point in time right now, it's let's get us through the 26th of May.
Yeah, we'll
May
talk
of,
to you on the 27th.
of this year. You know, there's a lot of, there's a lot of moving parts for this, and there are a lot of people that are involved, and I want to thank all the folks that got on board. You know, it really started with a conversation that I had on the phone with Matt Roth, who was a board member, or is a board member for LCVC, asking a question about another idea and any ideas that we might have had to kind of do something that could help bring people into town. So LCVC was on board, and then, you know, we got involved with, then from there, talked to the Buddy Holly Foundation, talked to Mayor Robideau with the CREATE initiative, and the fact that we've got someone that chose Lafayette over all these other cities as an option to come in and start this. And then we also got involved with the economic development side of things, both LEDA locally and Louisiana Entertainment on the state level. So, and then we've got lots of, and I don't want to start mentioning names because I don't want to leave somebody out and offend them, but we've got lots of small businesses and individual contributors who have come in to do this. So, you know, that's, I think for me, that's been the biggest kind of difference that I wasn't expecting, because I'm an idea kind of guy, and mm-hmm. I can come up with ideas, you know. It's like and then I'm also I want to believe that I can deliver the idea if I put my mind to it. But the fact is that it got to the point where when you're coordinating 100 plus musicians with 50 plus sponsors with these many nights mm-hmm. in the hotel rooms, it becomes a lot for, you know, a small organization of two or three people to yeah. be able to pull off. So I know it seems like we expanded, and we did, but I think the things, we're pretty close to wrapping up the school program. We're able to do a partnership with the New School of Rock. I'll give them a plug, because Acadiana School of the Arts, I think, just bought the franchise for School of Rock. So they're going to help us with the working with the artists from the mm-hmm. school that got picked to perform on that Thursday night. So we're going to bring them in with the professionals that they have there to kind of work on presenting the songs that they created. So, yeah, to say how big and where, it's, I didn't think it would be here this year, but it is. And I'm at an exciting point right now, because, like we talked on the way in, Nicole is sitting there with the graphic designer and trying to put 8 months worth of work on two trifold pieces of paper as a program guide and make it legible, clear. Musicians are constantly changing their schedule and so forth. So, but now it's just my job as far as coordinating all the entertainers, production, still looking for volunteers, so that's something else that we're looking for. But now my job for the next couple of weeks is just to go ahead and spread the good word about what Solo is, and hopefully we can get the support from the community.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you for being here, and we'll revisit next year with your new ideas. it's always great working with you, so I'm glad that, you know, Chris Rader and Jacob were able to, you know, help contribute to this, because it's a fantastic event.
And if I could say one more thing, it would be, like I mentioned, that volunteers, if you are interested in this, and you can go on our website, there's a volunteer sign up deal. But to be a volunteer, can you imagine if you're a volunteer and you're the coffee person making sure that each one of these writing rooms has coffee, and you get to kind of open the door really quiet and walk in and kind of watch this process develop, how this mm-hmm. song comes in? That's some of the most amazing things for me. I was like, oh, that was amazing. And then I go to the next room and go, wow. And it just, we have anywhere from transportation to merch sales to ushers to whatever. If you want to kind of get in on that level, we are more than happy to have you.
That's great. Some of the local musicians listening, be a good way great in without way. Having to,
There you go. There's something for everybody
yep.
there for
yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
And they can volunteer, you know, around the times that they're sitting in the 2 day music conference. So we want to be able to plug in.
Pick up some tips.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. So we, you know, look, we're very fortunate to have the talent we have. Thank you all for allowing us to kind of spread the word of what we've got going on, because it means a lot, you know, and that's kind of, that's one of the things that this community has done, is kind of embraced. I have a lot of ideas and I do a lot of things, and, you know, we're successful at a lot of things we do, but this has been kind of universal, some of the most positive response out of any one particular idea that I had, where people, I get a lot of nodding, you know,
yeah.
there. So it's there's that. That kind of helps, keeps us going right there.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, thank you, Jen.
And Mark Falgu, thank you so much. I think this is historic, to have pulled this off your second year, to have the second annual South Louisiana Songwriters Festival and Workshop, again, starting on May 21st, and then for the public, open on May 22nd through May 26, 2019. I want to commend you and thank you for your dedication to building our community and our musical culture here. So, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and everybody can go to solosongwriters.com to get more information, and RaiderSolutions.com to hopefully register and get a key player ticket where you can go to all the events. So I'd like to thank you also for listening. If you want to check out Discover Lafayette, please visit discoverlafayette.net. You can subscribe to our podcast on the website, on Apple Podcasts, Alexa, Google Play, anywhere you get your podcast. And please, if you will, rate and review the show. It helps to have your support. On behalf of Discover Lafayette, I'm Jan Swift.